The Tom Woods Show, episode 665.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hello, everybody. Tom Woods here. As promised, Ryan Moran is returning to the show today, but I'm pretty sure I told you the first time he was on, which was 2-3 weeks ago, that the episode you were hearing back then was really take two, because take one, I totally, hijacked, that's the word, hijacked the conversation. But poor Ryan, he'd come on to talk about, you know, economics in one lesson and his views on capitalism and the market economy and libertarianism and all that stuff. And I said, I sort of more or less said, yeah, that's all nice, but tell me about your businesses. And we talked all about that, you know, that sort of stuff, entrepreneurship related stuff, which is nothing wrong with that, but that's not what the poor guy prepared for. So we decided, well, how about we actually do an episode in which you actually talk about what you came here to talk about? So that's what we wound up playing the last time. This is the one that I wound up doing, even though it wasn't quite what he was expecting. I said, look, it's my show, doggone it. I'm going to ask what I want. So this one, this is like those Honeymooners episodes that were in the vault all those years. You know, then they opened the vault or whatever it was, and then all of a sudden you could see them again. Well, that's kind of like what this is, one on the cutting room floor. But it's like Jethro Tull's music that was on the cutting room floor. Like, they were releasing album after album after album after album of stuff that had been sitting on the cutting room floor, so to speak, that had been discarded. And you listen to it and you say, this is better than half the stuff they released. This is, you know, this is top-notch stuff. But Ian was such a perfectionist, he wouldn't release it. But I couldn't live without that material. It's so, so good. So you're going to feel that way about this. You're going to say, this is what Woods discarded? My gosh, what a perfectionist this guy must be. I don't know if you're ever going to say that. I have no idea. I don't know what you're saying now. I have no idea. Who knows? But regardless, I'm going to play this for you. Ryan Daniel Moran is a successful entrepreneur. You're going to find out more about him because that's all I'm going to be yapping about. But it's going to be very interesting. We sure enjoyed it, and I hope you do as well. Check him out at freedomfastlane.com. He's going to be moving over very soon to capitalism.com, which he just bought the rights to. And that should be ready to go in about a month or so. This is May 2016, which I'm talking to you. So here we go. This is my first attempt at a conversation with Ryan Daniel Moran. Here we go. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Tom, thanks so much for having me on. It's great to be here.
I got so many things to ask you, man. And you know, sometimes I know the guests personally, so I know, you know, I know where they were born. I know how many kids they have. I know the whole story about them. In your case, I read just enough to get us started, but you seem like an interesting enough person. I want to just peel away the layers of the onion live here with you. I started, I was just telling people that I got so many requests from people to have you on after you made that video about your tax bill. I got so many people because I have a private Facebook group for people who support the show. And I had two separate threads going of people, you know, they weren't going to commit an atrocity or anything if I didn't have you on, but they were really, really insistent. So look, all right, people, look, that's it. You can stop writing to me. Here he is. Let's start.
Thank
right
you for
there.
Badgering Tom.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's right. Before I get into any more of your background, let's start right there with that because, you know, April 18th was the official date this year for the IRS, and I make quarterly payments as you probably also have to do. So let's start right there. Tell me exactly what happened that led you to make this video showing the check you were sending into the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah, so I wrote the biggest check I've ever written in my life, I think anyway. It was $170,000 made out to the IRS. And I got a little bit of vomity in my mouth. And it seemed like a perfect opportunity to just openly put a face to who it is that gets kind of, I think, demonized and attacked, especially today when you hear people saying that people need to pay their fair share, that businesses have a bunch of loopholes. And we can talk about what loopholes exist and who uses them, but it sure seems to me like there is a big push and a big leaning to demonize that group as if there's some mysterious people behind closed doors who are secretly not paying any taxes and laughing all the way while doing it. And I'm in the highest tax bracket, and I know that businesses pay a whole bunch of hidden taxes that people don't even know about. So as I'm writing this check for $170,000, I just whipped out my phone and said, here it is. Here's the check of what I owe at the end of the year. And it represents a portion of what I had to pay this year. And there was a lot more taxes, but there was a little bit of some unforeseen things that the government gets you with that you don't tend to hear about. And I just wanted to share that because I think people forget. We like to put a face on those who are struggling, and we should highlight that, and we should have discussions about who's struggling and who is a victim in today's modern society, or who doesn't have a shot. We should have that discussion, but no one talks about the business owners who are creating the jobs that are hurt by government policy or that are hurt by excessive taxation. And nobody talks about what it looks like for a business owner to not be able to hire more people because they're being taxed to death. We just hear about what the government can do as far as all the programs it can create and the infrastructure it can build. But we forget that you have to rob from one mouth to pay for another one. And I just wanted to humanize that experience for those who don't necessarily see that on a regular basis. So that was the reason for the video.
Now, was it a Facebook-only video or is it up on YouTube? I can't remember.
Well, I just put it on Facebook at that time and it went viral. And so I flipped it over on YouTube, but most of the views were over on Facebook.
Okay. I ask you that only so that I want to be able to post it on the show notes page for today for people to watch it. Now, of course, you got a lot of support because if you're posting it on Facebook, you know, people who follow you already and already know your story are going to be the first to see it. But then they share it, and then they have Bernie Sanders supporters among their friends. And you responded to one person. Again, this was posted in my group. Somebody was all upset about, oh, my goodness, the millionaire whiner about his tax bill, blah, blah, blah. You know, and they were shedding false tears for you. Do you remember what your response was? Can you share it?
Was this the individual who said, I bet he's riding in one of his 16 cars?
Yeah. Go.
Yeah. So I simply said, I'm reading this while my Tesla drives itself.
Yeah. That was so good. That's exactly what a hater like that deserves.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can't laugh off those who will talk against you, what can you do? And there was another thread on there where someone was upset that I actually responded to that person. And it's just interesting because if you don't respond, you ignore the haters and you're afraid to defend yourself. If you do respond, you're a troll. If you agree with this person, then you're this. If you agree with this, and so there's really no winning. So you might as well have fun.
Yeah, that's right. There's no strategy you can follow that isn't going to annoy somebody. I mean, some people say you shouldn't. Like, for instance, I have a podcast that I do once a week with Bob Murphy called Contra Krugman, where we refute Paul Krugman every week. And some people say, why should you bother listening to Paul Krugman? Well, because he has, I don't know, millions of readers. I mean, we can live in a dream world where nobody cares about Krugman, but they do care about him. And we're not giving him extra, you know, publicity by refuting him. And we need to refute him. So yeah, I say just go have fun, to heck with what people say. And once in a while, when I get a really, you know, I get some hater. I had some crazy guy the other day who attacked me as a, I forget what, because I supported free trade. So I was a Zionist Jew who wanted to sell out his country. Now, I'm not any, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. So I thought, you know what? That's too good not to use. So I used it as an email to my list. And I said, now, you know, these are the crazies I hear from once in a while. Now, if you want to be shielded from the crazies, you can come into my private Facebook group, No Crazies Allowed, Cool People Only, and I'm able to recruit people into my supporting listeners program. Why let a crazy go to waste, you know?
You know, forgive me for bringing this to a philosophical point, but it just goes to show you that you can't please everybody, that no matter what you do, some people are just going to disagree and be upset. And that's one of the reasons why I would consider myself kind of a small government guy, a libertarian, if you will, because we all just need to be responsible for what we do and for the results that we get. To expect for a program or a policy or even a business to serve everyone is unrealistic. You can't even post something on Facebook without somebody being offended.
Right.
Why are we expecting the same policies to be a fit for 400 million people?
And the thing is, I think we're – a lot of us have a desire to – I think it's a natural human desire to be liked and to please people. And I just remind people that Murray Rothbard, one of the great libertarian thinkers of all time, had enemies among libertarians. So if Murray Rothbard has enemies among libertarians, you're going to have opponents almost no matter what you do. All right. I want to talk about – well, first of all, you have acquired – capitalism.com. I'm not going to ask you how much you spent. It was probably less than you paid to the Treasury.
That is true.
but it must have been a premium domain, and you're going to be doing some interesting stuff there coming a couple months from now.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking about it. I run a website called Freedom Fastlane. I also podcast about business and entrepreneurship.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're moving over to a new domain, and it's capitalism.com. And the reason why we decided to get that name was because I feel very strongly that there is a dangerous movement happening that is anti that word. And you can blame politicians, you can blame millennials, you can blame whoever. The fact of the matter is, it feels to me like there is an understanding that capitalism means you're in bed with government, not that you're trying to solve problems in spite of government. And there is this trend right now, I think, that I perceive, where it seems like government is being trusted to be the solver of our problems. And I think that individuals are the solver of our problems. I think that personal responsibility is what solves our problems. So I felt the need to do something about that. And I find myself talking about that more and more just in my own business. So we went out and spent what it took in order to acquire that domain. And that launches in July of 2016.
Had that domain been sitting idle, or was somebody using it for something?
It was owned for 19 years by one individual who I think very respectfully had registered it almost 20 years ago and wanted to prevent it from falling into the, quote, wrong hands. And he got several offers every year and never felt like he could trust the person that wanted to buy it. And he heard my vision for that business and that company. And he said, "Ryan, I want to sell the domain to you." So it was he was one of the good guys, if you will.
Oh, that's really nice to hear. That's really great. That's really.
I mean, I still paid quite a bit for it, but
yeah, right. But at least you got
good.
It. Yeah, at least
exactly.
You got it. Yeah. Now, so you've been on with Pat Flynn over at SmartPassiveIncome.com. He's a very, very highly respected. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I saw you also went on to talk about investment stuff like that. And he's a widely respected guy, and he doesn't really take ideological positions, and that's really not what he's all about anyway. I mean, he gives really good advice. I have, as I was telling you before we went on, I've definitely benefited from his advice. So I've gone out of my way a couple of things that I bought to make sure I buy him through his affiliate link as a way of saying thank you. He doesn't even know I did that, but I, you know, it seems like the right thing to do. So let's talk about the nature of your business, because the first time you were on with him, I think it might have been episode 144. I don't have all his podcast episodes memorized by number. I was just looking at it before I went on. But the title of the episode was something along the lines of building a million-dollar business in 12 months. What exactly – okay, so apparently you did that. What were you doing before that, and were you successful at that? I mean, how'd you get started, and what is it that you do? And then we'll get into the $1 million.
Sure. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 17 or 18 years old. If we were to go back even further than that, at 5 years old, I started my first business going door to door, trying to sell hand-drawn pictures on computer paper for a penny each. That business lasted about an evening and I made 5 cents. My dad was my first customer. He bought 2 pictures, but he also supplied all the paper and pens. So 100% profit. Thank you very much.
Right.
I started my first real business, if you will, or cash flow machine in college. I was going to a small private college in Indiana, and I needed to pay for college somehow. I had dreams of being a successful entrepreneur. So I learned how the internet worked, and I started blogging and doing affiliate products like you discussed that Pat does. And I was 17 or 18 at the time when I started doing that. And was successful throughout college, graduated college with a little more than $100,000 in the bank, and paid off my student loans with a check and never worked for anyone else. But it wasn't until about 4 years ago that I felt like I really started building real businesses. And when I say real businesses, I think there's a change that happens or a difference between a business that pays for someone's life and allows them to be free, allows them to make better decisions, allows them to choose how they spend their time more strategically and more intentionally. And then there's businesses that serve a community, that go out to solve a problem, that have a suite of products and has an end goal. And I think those are two very different things. So about 4 years ago, I made the pivot from more of a cash flow style of a business that just existed to serve myself, which is fine, to building a more structured teams with customer bases and growing something that was bigger than just the Ryan Moran Show. And when that's when I kind of mapped out my long-term strategies, part of that being a 12-month plan that I've shared on YouTube and in other places that have gotten millions of views at this point and have been helpful for other people. So that's what you're referencing.
All right. I do want to talk about exactly the nature of your business work, but I also want to talk about, I mean, I know you're going to be moving, but for the time being, for the next couple of months, freedomfastlane.com will still work, and we're going to link to that at tomwoods.com/648. So I do want to talk about how you, you help people. You help people to figure out how they can fit into the marketplace, mm-hmm. how they can become entrepreneurs and so on. But I think people are growing kind of cynical when it comes to people like that because they think it seems like a circular thing where I make money by telling other people how to make money by telling people how other people can make money and so on
right.
in a circle that just goes on and is closed within itself. And then secondly, I think people are kind of tired of programs that just give them a lot of fluff about, well, it's all about your mindset and you got to stay focused on your dreams and whatever. I want to take all that stuff and chuck it out the window. So how are you different
from
that?
You and me both, buddy.
Okay, all right, good. Then I want to know why I would listen to Ryan Daniel Moran.
Yeah, so I've been building what I would consider real businesses for 4 or 5 years now. And when I mean real business, I mean with teams and employees and doing multi-million dollars in sales. And for years, I've just shared the process and I have blogged about it. I podcast about it. I would rather someone who is skeptical never give me a dime. I think, Tom, the world needs more entrepreneurs. I think that is probably the biggest problem the world faces, that we don't have enough personally responsible entrepreneurs who are doing good things in the marketplace and that we need as many of them as we can get. So I always have shared that journey as my way of how I think the world needs to be better. And I have always done that for free. On the business side, I do have a business that both invests in, buys businesses, and does workshops for entrepreneurs. But we try to give everything that would help someone get started away for free because I just think the world is better when it has more entrepreneurs. So I share in your frustration of that cycle of people who just teach people how to make money because that's how they make money. But that's never been our game. I'd rather stick ice picks under my toenails than be one of those people. I'd be much happier building real businesses that solve problems and then share what we learn along the way.
Well, over at freedomfastlane.com, people can get on your mailing list, and one of the things they get is it's like a 10-day challenge. And I will tell you, I had somebody who in that thread about you was saying, well, I have to say, seems like a great guy, but from what I've seen in his videos, but 10-day challenges sound like, again, what I've heard from a lot of gurus before. And again, it winds up being like Ben Franklin style advice. Wake up early in the morning and, exercise or something. I mean, again, I don't want to steer people to stuff like that. I assume you're not sending out stuff like that.
If I was a morning person, my life would probably be better. So I should probably take Ben Franklin's advice.
That's true.
That's cool. I appreciate the feedback. We just try to put out really good stuff and who shows up and resonates with it, cool. And that's always been our approach with our businesses. We don't try to be something we're not or act like anybody else. We kind of do our thing. And sometimes we get people who really, really like us, Tom. Some people we get people who, are upset and claim that I have 16 cars and I have to tell them I'm reading it while my Tesla drives itself. So we get all ends of the spectrum like anybody else.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's right. Now, I thought I read somewhere that at one time or another, and possibly still now, you had or have a business that had to do with Amazon and selling products that Amazon has and earning Amazon affiliate commissions. Is that right?
So let's go into that a little bit, because when I've talked about this, I guess, real business for a while. And 4 years ago, I started selling physical products, physical consumable goods. And I developed this 12-month plan. And the 12-month plan has become sort of what I've known for in at least training entrepreneurs. And I have always built my businesses around what I call channels, which is basically just looking at where there are already audiences or there are already buyers hanging out and then putting your product or your service in front of that. So you and I both podcast. Our podcasts are available on iTunes because people are already there looking for podcasts. It's how people discover us. It's people who are already shopping for our information, how they'll find us. Well, on the internet, if you want to have a physical product, what most people will do is they might run a Kickstarter, and then if they're smart, they might do a Kickstarter and then put it for sale on their e-commerce site. Well, we decided to do it differently, and we built our businesses around Amazon.com because that's where the buyers already were. And a few years ago, it was a fairly rudimentary kind of wide open west that was still growing very, very quickly. But at the same time, Amazon is like entrepreneur's paradise because they hold all your inventory, they package all your products for you, they do most of the customer service, they process all of the orders. So all you need to do is have good products and a good experience for your customers and make sure that people are really happy and you can just run your business. Amazon takes care of a lot of those headaches. So we structured a lot of our business around that channel because there's already millions of people going there. And that's one of the reasons why our businesses have grown so quickly and why so many of our students that we've, you know, mentored have had such fast success is because they've just been able to grow their business while Amazon has filled a lot of the gaps.
All right, let me make sure I'm understanding. So in other words, you're using Amazon to sell your products. You're not using Amazon from the point of view of an affiliate.
Correct.
Okay, because I, you know, once in a while I see people who, you know, promote the idea of building up your own Amazon store. But then it seems to me the tricky thing is getting traffic to that store because Amazon stores tend to be maybe a few pages deep, you know, in terms of a website, and Google doesn't like websites like that. So it seems right. Like that would be a challenge unless you knew how to use maybe Facebook ads or something to get traffic to that store. So you have an entirely different business model then.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite of that. So instead of us selling other people's products, other people are selling ours. And we're also getting the traffic that naturally comes to Amazon. So Amazon has become like, it's the new Walmart, right? But there's no more pitching to Walmart to try and get your products featured. Anybody can go and create that store and work to maximize your exposure there by running ads. Amazon has their own advertisement platform. Reviews obviously drive a lot of attention. So the barriers for entrepreneurship are coming down faster and faster. Amazon is one of those opportunities that exists right now, but I don't like to say that our business is an Amazon business or dependent on Amazon, because I think business is business. You're out to solve customers' problems. You're out to service a community. Amazon right now is one of those vehicles where entrepreneurship is open and there are fewer barriers, so you can conduct your business profitably without all of the big headaches that we would have had even 10 years ago. And I think one of the exciting things is those opportunities are getting more and more commonplace as we get kind of the walls fall down or the barriers crumble for entrepreneurs to go in and create products in the marketplace. But Amazon is one of those things right now.
You know, these barriers, of course, are coming down in all different fields, not just in business. But for instance, just last night, I have a friend who's in one of these indie rock bands, and they had a Kickstarter campaign going and that I hadn't known about. So I looked at it. I saw that they needed only $90 more to meet their goal. So I thought, wow, if I had come tomorrow morning, they would have already met their goal. I want to be the guy that makes them meet. So of course I immediately donated the $90. But in other words, you know, that wasn't the ability to raise that kind of money wasn't possible before.
Right.
The ability to then take your product and put it out there so that anybody in the world can get access to it was not possible. I mean, you can be an independent you know, I mean, you have to be creative about your funding, but you can write your own blog. You can be an artist. You can do all these sorts of things and reach gigantic audiences. Well, likewise, you can do this also in business. You can have your own little – you can have a little store, as it were, but you don't need to lay out $5 million to build a physical store. These are incredible times. Now, so can I assume that when you're talking to people and coaching them in terms of entrepreneurship, are you trying to get them into internet-based businesses, or is it just business in general?
I've worked with both. My specialty has always been in internet-based businesses just because it's what I know. I'm 28 years old. I grew up mostly with the internet. So that's what I know best, but I've worked with all kinds of different businesses. I own a restaurant. I also own a fulfillment company for physical products. So I've been kind of across the board, but my specialty has always been the internet.
How many functioning businesses do you have at the moment?
Six or seven?
You sound like John McCain counting his houses. He's not sure how many he's got.
I gotta go count my cars and myself.
Yeah, you gotta catch it. Wow, that's something else. So obviously, yeah, I mean, these would be real businesses because there ain't no way one guy is doing the day-to-day work of six or seven businesses.
Exactly. So, Tom, I talk about this fairly publicly. My dream, my greedy, evil capitalist dream, Tom.
Oh, let's hear it.
Is to own the Cleveland Indians. That's my heart and soul. I'm a glutton for punishment. I love my Cleveland Indians, and that's always been my goal. So I've kind of thought about and approached business a little bit differently than the type of person that you might want to go to, you know, just have a lifestyle business. Pat Flynn is a buddy of mine, and he works with a lot of people who have that dream. I have a different dream, and it's to, you know, be one of those big evil robber baron capitalists who owns a Major League Baseball team. So I'm one of those greedy one percenters.
Wow. You know, for some reason, I don't mean to compare you to Homer Simpson, but did you ever see the episode where his dream is to own the Dallas Cowboys, and at the end, he only manages to get the Denver Broncos, and he's deeply, deeply disappointed and insulted. You know, like, this is the worst possible outcome you can imagine. All right. Anyway, I'm sorry. There's some weirdly appropriate / inappropriate Simpsons reference for almost any conversation that you're having. All right. So somebody comes to you and says, Ryan, you've done all this stuff. You're only 28 years old. You know, you're rolling around in money. You're coaching people, but you're also – well, first of all, I think it lends credibility to your coaching that you are running businesses that are not – themselves exclusively devoted to coaching other people. You actually are doing things in these other businesses. Okay. But they say, look, you know, maybe you just had some kind of special know-how that I'll never have, or you have some instinct. You know, you have the nose for it that I don't have. I don't even know where to begin. I don't have any capital. I don't have any connections. Where do you start with those people?
Yeah, I think it's important to note that, in my opinion, everyone already is an entrepreneur. I mean, everyone is being compensated according to what they bring to the marketplace. Some people just have one way that they do it, and that's through a job. Some people want something different. Some people just see that there's changes happening, that there are barriers coming down. That scares a lot of people. I mean, heck, I think that's one of the reasons why somebody like the Vermont senator who's doing so well in the polls right now is rising, because there's fear over change, and change is happening faster and faster. I think you have two types of people. I think you have those who run away from that and seek security either through government or just through kind of developing resentment. And I think there's those who take advantage of changing trends and changing opportunities, and they're changing all the time. And I think one of the pieces of good news that's happening is it costs less money than ever to start a business. I started my biggest business does about $10 million a year in revenue. I started it with $600. There's easier ways of getting distribution now. You can put a Facebook video up and get 2 million views ranting about taxes, apparently. You can develop audiences quicker and faster than ever. There are customers at your fingertips all of the time. We have things like Facebook now where you can simply... everyone has an audience of at least a few hundred people, your friends. You're a few degrees away from just about any connection that you want to make. So it's getting faster and faster and easier and easier. I think that the way you get started is one of two things. You either have to have some need that you see in the marketplace that you want to fill, an improvement that you want to see in the marketplace, or you have to have some passion that you want to share. I'm not real big on telling people to follow their passion, but you can turn just about any interest into a cash flow stream at this point because the world is at your fingertips via the internet. If you wanted to have a physical product, the way you'd get that made is by developing a prototype, which can cost you as little as $20 or as much as a few hundred bucks, depending on how complex it is. A buddy of mine is out to, his mission is to put organic food on the tables of every kitchen table in America and make it affordable to everyone. So he has $1 million prototype, but that's a little bit of a different business model. But having someone else develop a prototype, now you can sell things before they're even made, like with Kickstarter, as we talked about. So there are all of these opportunities. It is just a process of filling the need, developing a product around that need, and putting it in front of an audience. And audiences exist on Amazon. They exist on Kickstarter. They exist on Facebook. They exist in forums. They exist everywhere. And that is really the process that I help people go through, is really just cutting through a lot of the noise and creating a straight line to that success. What need are you solving? How are you solving that? What's your product? And what audiences can we release that to? And then we can scale the business from there.
Right, exactly. And how do we find those people to draw them to what it is that you're doing? I have a person, again, who's a supporting listener of the show, who released a book called Music Theory in One Lesson. And it's a wonderful little book, and everybody loves it. But no one knew who he was. He didn't have name recognition. Now, he could have just sat there and said, oh, woe is me. I have a wonderful book, but no name recognition. So I guess I'll just go drown my sorrows in drink, and that'll be the end of it. Mm-hmm. No. He went to different Facebook groups that were dealing with music theory, and he answered people's questions. And then he had a link to his book. And he got a reputation as the guy who always had a really good answer. And he has a book with a really intriguing title. And he sold thousands and thousands of copies of that book in a matter of months, simply by doing that, by saying, where would the people who'd be interested in my product be hanging out? I'm going to go find them there, instead of just building my beautiful website and just sitting there scratching my head, wondering why they're not clicking on it.
Right. Good for him. And I mean, in that same vein, 7 days ago, Tom Woods did not know who I was. And I've known who he was for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, actually. I'm not sorry you knew about me. I'm sorry I didn't know about – maybe I am. I don't know. I'm sorry I didn't know about you. Now that I look at what you're doing, I don't know how I didn't notice you, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, the process of if you're putting good things into the marketplace, eventually people notice you. There is attention being thrown out everywhere right now. It's like an attention and customer superhighway. But most people are waiting for the opportunity rather than going after it by just saying, where's my audience? How would I connect with that audience? And how do I solve their problems? And that's business 101.
Yeah, that's right. And as I've said, ad nauseum, the ways you have to reach that very precise audience are a marketer's dream today. People would have killed to have the chance. I always give this as the example. This is the classic example. I promote the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum because I created courses for it, and I have an affiliate site set up for it. And on Facebook, I can pitch it to moms and dads of children. So I know exactly – I know they have their potential customers who also have expressed an interest in homeschooling and who also have expressed an interest in Ron Paul. How would I have done that? Now, okay, I could dig out some magazines for homeschoolers and try and figure out how to produce an ad for them. But those magazines, maybe they have 20, 30,000 subscribers. This is hundreds and hundreds of thousands of potential people. It's a miracle.
Right. And I mean – forgive me for repeating myself, but that is commonplace now, and those types of barriers are coming down to where you can get so targeted on who you want to help and who you want to serve. And I think that that is going to become more and more necessary for people to realize that, because we are in the age now where entrepreneurship is becoming not just a fantasy, but it's becoming a necessity. We are now being forced more and more to serve one another in more direct ways and being compensated for the direct value that we bring to the table, assuming, of course, government doesn't get in the way.
All right. Tell people about your podcast and about what else they might find at freedomfastlane.com.
Sure. So my website's freedomfastlane.com. I podcast and blog about both my businesses. We publish income reports so you can see the breakdown of where we're making our money, the investments that we're making. We'll be moving over to capitalism.com in the summer of 2016. And at that point, we'll be talking a lot more about government policy, and we'll be talking more about investment and personal responsibility. I think that the world needs more capitalism, not less. I'm out to reclaim capitalism and show that it is not an old idea, that it is not a bad idea, but it is the way that we will solve most of the world's problems through individuals who will take personal responsibility and will do something to be the change that they want to see in the world. And that launches this summer. So my website now is freedomfastlane.com and capitalism.com.
All right, great. I'm going to link to freedomfastlane.com, and then when capitalism.com goes live, we'll go back and change it on the show notes page. So it's tomwoods.com/648 for anybody who's, you know, if you're driving around, you're afraid you're going to forget the website, just remember 648, and it'll be on that show notes page. Ryan, it's great talking to you because you are doing exactly what I'm more or less recommending, or your thought process is exactly where mine is, that right now, it's very frustrating thinking about government policy and politicians. It's demoralizing to watch the presidential race. You feel like no one understands anything. It's very frustrating. So maybe the thing that we can do in the meantime, in addition to educating people the best we can, is to focus on what we as individuals can do to try to prosper the best we can in spite of all the obstacles being thrown at us. And you're a great example of that very thing. So I hope people will check out freedomfastlane.com. And I appreciate you coming on such short notice and talking to me like this. Sometimes it takes weeks to get somebody to come on, and you accommodated me so kindly, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it. And since you believe in that mission, what I'll do then is I'll organize some content together for the listeners so that we can put more of an action plan together if they want. Because I do think there is a gap in our kind of libertarian community where we talk a lot about how the government needs to stay out of things, but we don't talk about what fills the gap, which I think gets filled by entrepreneurs.
Right.
We like to talk about how we should have the government stay out of healthcare, but we never really address the question of how do we solve those who are in the most need? And I would say through capitalism and entrepreneurship, but we rarely have that conversation. And that's why we need more entrepreneurs. So I'll set up a link over at freedomfastlane.com/Tom, and I'll just put some lessons there if people are wanting to become entrepreneurs and need more of a path to get there.
Wow, smart. You pulled a really neat marketing trick right here in front of my eyes on my own show. Fantastic. All right. Then I want you people to do that. Freedomfastlane.com/Tom. Yes. Step right into it. Head right over there. Thanks again, Ryan. I hope we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
All right, everybody. You'll never guess. You will never guess what I have to share with you right now. Okay? I'm gonna give you 2 seconds. I want you to collect yourself and think. What is Woods going to share with me right now? Ready? I'm going to pause. All right. Did you come up with another listener-created website? You're darn right. This one is called econgirlnaoto.com. So it's econgirl, then N-A-O-T-O.com. And I'm going to let her describe for you what you'll find there. She was saying that one day, it's called Fashionable Econ Girl Naoto's Cognitive Dissonance Blog. And she says, one day I was so fed up with anti-liberty logic that I was scrubbing my teeth in a rage, and I thought, some people can't brush their teeth without government intervention. That's when the blog got its makeover, because it originally was something else, and first new post. I've got around 30 posts worth of articles that parody the hyperbole and contradiction often used by defenders of regulation, socialism, and political correctness. I'm satisfied to start showing it off. For now, it's good for a chuckle from those who rip their hair out in frustration like I often do. So econgirlnaoto.com. And when you go there, you'll see exactly what she's talking about. It's posts in which she's quoting from fictional people, basically. She's more or less making up these statements, but these are statements that some people no doubt have made, and they do reflect how real people do think. and you'll see what she's doing with this. But it's rather a clever site, and of course, I will also be linking to it on the show notes page today under listener website mentioned, tomwoods.com/665. Don't forget, now is an excellent time to lock in your hosting if you're going to start your own website, because the 36-month plan at Bluehost right now is just $295 a month. You'd be crazy not to lock that in, and you'd be even crazier not to use my link to do it, because you get all these great bonuses, video tutorials, plus a great shout-out to get you a little bit of extra traffic. So check out all your goodies and my special link at tomwoods.com/publicity. All right, we have reached another week of programs. We got more to – you know, I've only got one – in the can for next week so far. It's pretty much I've cleared the decks, and I'm going to be doing a whole bunch of fresh ones on Monday. But this coming Monday, it's episode 666. And if you're expecting an episode on the devil or on conspiracies or on evil, you got another thing coming. Because when it comes to 666, that ain't how I roll on this show. All right, we're going to turn that baby around and shine a little light in the darkness on Monday. So I hope you can join me then. Thanks for listening.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.